Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Cold here in Minnesota, and I'm coming to you from Minnesota here, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing the weather that we've had here for 3 months. It's been nothing but complete cold weather. I mean, we've had maybe one day out of the month each month where it's actually broke a little bit and been warm, but it hasn't been much more than that. It has been just unbelievably cold in the Midwest here. And so we're just trying to stay warm. And my goodness, I feel for the men that are out there working all the time outside and trying to stay warm out there. Boy, sometimes the weather has dipped down with the wind chill. One day it was 40 to 50 below, and that wind was really blowing. It was a couple days like that. And they in Minnesota, they don't do that very often, but they canceled school. I think they've actually done it three or four times this year. They've actually canceled school, which we don't do very much in Minnesota. And it wasn't even really for the snow at all. It was for the cold, getting those buses out there and that sort of thing out here in this weather. And then if you're out in the country and something happens, boy, I'll tell you what, it won't be very good. So. That's what's going on with that. But I hear in Texas, though, I was talking to our producer, Brother Lonnie, and he was telling me that it was 19 degrees or 27 degrees, and that's cold for Texas. I remember last year at this time I was in Texas for a week, and man, it had to be 60 some degrees if I remember right. I'm sure it was 60, 70 degrees at this time of year. So, it's unbelievable, the weather. Anyway, so just pray for folks that are out there working and everything else that they'd be okay, because, man, I'll tell you, it's brutal out there. It really is. And we just thank the Lord for his protection for us. And I've heard about some folks being in car accidents, and we pray for those folks. It's really dangerous. This time of year with all the weather and everything. So just pray for each other, and don't ever take that for granted. Always pray for one another. It's very important that you do that. Pray for your brother in Christ. It's very important. God wants us to pray. Amen. He wants us to pray for each other, intercede for one another on one another's behalf, and go to the Lord and pray. So don't forget to do that, okay? That's important. God's people don't pray enough. We are all guilty of not praying enough, and we need to pray more. If we want the power of God in our lives, then we simply must pray, as well as live for God and separate from evil and all those things. But we've got to pray, and God will give his power if you obey and follow his word. But, you know, the Bible says men ought always to pray without ceasing, and that's important anyway. That's a command of God. And, it's a very important command. Don't ever forget that. Remember that, please, in your life. I know I've said that, but I keep saying that over and over again. But I'll tell you, you always ought to be in a mindset of prayer. And if you are, then when hard times do come, you're familiar with God. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you're familiar with God. And you're able to talk to him like Abraham talked to God as a man, and Moses did as a man would talk to his friend. Amen? The problem is that when many times when born-again believers get into trouble, they don't have a pattern of prayer. So guess what? When trouble comes, they very seldom, they're not used to going to God in prayer. So it seems foreign, and they don't pour out their heart. You pour out your heart to somebody you know well. Amen? And you ought not know anybody better than you do God. So pray. And just remember that. That was free. That was one of those free messages that you get that doesn't cost you a thing. Amen? But I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope you take it to heart, because it's very important that you do that. Well, listen, now crazy things going on in our world. It just keeps going and going and going, doesn't it? Waiting for these end times and what's going to take place in these end times. But, Brother Lonnie, what time is it?
Wake up!
One more time in case they didn't hear you. What time is it, Brother Lonnie?
Wake up!
Exactly. It's time to wake up. And, boy, I'll tell you what. People make it real easy. This segment won't be as long as it was last week. We went for an hour last week with it. I don't plan on going that long this week with it. But I'll tell you, it's amazing to me what's happening in our world today and how, you know, these lines are just being – it's so clear that these people are all on the same side. These politicians and people, for the most part, when I say all, I mean – you know, I got to learn not to say that so much, but 90% of them or so are all on the same side. Most of them, with the exception of a few, are not. We got a mess. You know, we've got an immigration mess here that both parties are to blame for it. And it's bad. But on either side, it's just terrible. And we talked about that a little bit last week, so we won't continue down that this week, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's not leaving, and it'll be in the news for a while. Boy, I seen a video here the other day about a police officer that pulled over the police officer arrested the fireman. The fireman was at the scene of an accident trying to help people that were injured on the side of the road, and the police officer said, you got to move this truck. And the man said, well, I'm covering the accident like I'm supposed to with the truck, and I'm tending to these people that are very injured right now. Well, I guess the cop got his widow feelings hood, and his ego got crushed, and he couldn't take somebody telling him something or saying something to him. This is what we understand anyway, by what I've heard so far, a few different sources, but that he got mad and he arrested the guy because the guy didn't, you know, do exactly what he wanted him to do. You know, I'll tell you, you can see it ever so clearly what's really going on here, that we are in an absolute, we're in a police state, and it's ramping up. It's getting worse. So just remember that. And when they'll arrest firemen as they're doing their job, you know, maybe the guy said something that he didn't like. Maybe the guy was rude. Maybe the guy, whatever. But you know what? He's tending to a patient. Why don't you let him do that and not worry about that? Why don't you worry about your little protocol and all your other little stuff later and let him take care of somebody that's injured? It just goes to show you that most of these people have no heart. We're living in these times of unnatural affection, and they just have no heart. It's very sad to see. But this is where our world is today, and this is where America is especially. We're living in these end times for sure, and we're watching things fall apart at the seams here. Which Jesus said, though, in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. You know, be of good comfort, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. What a promise of God. Amen. What an absolute promise of God there. That we are overcomers. Amen. And Christ has overcome the world. And what a promise to hold on to tonight. You see that our world, and obviously we know that the world is antichrist, and we're seeing all of these companies, well, not so much, well, companies as well, but companies and big business and big corporate America and everything else, spying is becoming pretty popular. Among even police officers. This week we just had the police in Iowa here, and I don't know if Brother Lonnie can find that article and put it on our Faith Baptist Pages website, but the SWAT team went into a house, and I mean, man, they totally scared everybody in there, and it was totally wrong what they were doing. The way that they did it is, it's in Iowa. I mean, it's not like you're in Detroit or something, or you're in Chicago. I mean, you're in Iowa. I mean, and where it's at in Iowa is just ridiculous for that level of abuse. But as we see the police departments militarized, as we see that, it's what's going to happen. I mean, it's almost like there's this us versus them mentality, and it's not supposed to be that way. But they don't fear. They don't fear the people. And that's a sign of these Antichrist end times as well. When there's no fear, there's no fear of the people. It's sad, is what it is. But tyranny is here, and we're seeing it, every day. Well, PETA got mad at Joe Namath. Joe Namath, he actually wore this fur coat, and I'm sorry, that fur coat looked like a little feminine to me. I wouldn't have worn anything like that. I'm sorry, I just couldn't get myself to wear something like that. It just looked feminine to me, but he did it to make PETA mad, which is kind of funny. But PETA's okay with you killing babies. They're not okay with you killing animals. They'd rather you kill babies instead, and they'd be fine with it. I mean, they promote homosexuality, nudity, nakedness, fornication. They promote all those things. And it's just the sad times that we live in. I'll tell you, there's another thing that you better start thinking about, too. And, you know, I don't know if you're turning your television on very much, but you know what? You'd be wise to keep it off. I preached a message on Hollywood, or a series on Hollywood, 12 messages. I'm adding to that all the time. I just added one. In a few weeks ago or something. But anyway, I'll be adding some more in. But I seen a commercial that was on, I would only see it because it was on the Drudge Report or something like that. And I think it was the Drudge Report or Facebook or something. And in this commercial, it's a commercial about chocolate and peanut butter and Butterfinger and putting the two together or whatever. And it's a commercial that's basically promoting fornication. It's basically promoting what they call a threesome. They're promoting fornication in that commercial and laughing it off. And it's sick. It's disgusting. It promotes more than fornication. It promotes homosexuality, bisexualism, or whatever you want to call it, which is all just wicked fornication, vile, disgusting things. But that's what it promotes. And that's shown on the Super Bowl there. Those things are shown on the Super Bowl. Sad. Very sad. But the Super Bowl is the number one spot for human trafficking and sexual trafficking and selling girls into slavery and children into slavery. It's like the number one spot for that. It's sad. And they're trying to, there's some people out there trying to spark some awareness for it, but understand it needs to be done by both sides, and we need to understand, what's going on there. The CBO director came out today, and he said that, or the other day, I don't know if it was today, but the other day, and he said that Obamacare is a disincentive for people to work. It's just a disincentive. Nobody wants to go to work. They don't want to. You know, if they got to pay all this money out to get Obamacare, they'd rather just drop down to 20, 30 hours a week, get free Obamacare. And that's the whole goal, isn't it? That's really what's going on. That's what they're trying to do, isn't it? I would say so. I would say that's what it's all about. I've had people ask me before, do you think Obama's the Antichrist? No, he's not smart enough to be the Antichrist. He's not. He's not intelligent enough to be him. But anyway, so He said, Obama says that freedom of religion is under threat as Catholics sue the administration. I wonder what that means. I wonder what he means by that exactly. You know? I wonder what he means by that. Religious freedom is at stake. Why? Because you guys are going to get into the Supreme Court and try to do away with the First Amendment. Is that why? Are you just telegraphing your little New World Order scheme is exactly what you want to do? We all know that that's what's in play, really. That's what's really going to go on. That's really what the goal is. You know, there's two amendments that they'd love to get done away with so they can send the forces out after everybody. They'd love to get rid of guns and the right to keep and to bear arms. They'd love to get rid of that, and they would love to get rid of that freedom of speech. And they've already chipped away at both of them enough. But that's their goal. That's what they want to do. Why? Because then you have to shut up and sit in the corner, or we'll kill you. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, that's the blunt of it anyway. That's the blunt news. That's the blunt way to say it, is that's what they're all about. We want you to shut up and have no defense. It says here that in a speech during Thursday morning's national prayer breakfast, President Barack Obama acknowledged it's also clear that around the world, freedom of religion is under threat. No society can truly succeed unless it guarantees the rights of all its people, including religious minorities. The Obama administration has been harshly criticized by Catholic Church and civil liberties organizations, concerned that Obamacare mandates that organizations provide their employees free access to contraceptives through their health care plans, even if their religious faith calls contraception a sin. Tax exemption of religious organizations because they hire people of all religions. So what they're saying is that, you know, they're tax exempt, so you're going to do what daddy tells you to do, basically. Because they hire people of all religions, the government also says they can avoid being fined if they simply hire a third party to provide the health insurance. If the Little Sisters don't comply with the mandate, they could be fined $4.5 million annually, about a third of its budget. President is right, says this person. Freedom of religion is under threat, not only in the United States, but increasingly around the world. Adam Cassandra, communications manager at Catholic organization Human Life International, told the Daily Caller, unfortunately, the actions of the Obama administration, especially in terms of the HHS mandate dealing with contraception and abortifacient drugs, its policy on abortion, and the administration's support for redefining marriage, have greatly contributed to the persecution of Christians, especially Catholics. The rights of religious minorities – well, Catholics aren't Christians, by the way. That's my quote in there. boy, that'll go over good. Especially Catholics, the right of religious minorities deserve protection, but the mainstream moral values of Christianity also need protection, especially from this administration, and should not be labeled as intolerant, which only incites hatred and violence. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor put a stay on the administration's enforcing the mandate while the matter is contested in the courts. Wow. Wow, I just had this sent to me. A vein scan payment system launched. It's called the Pulse Wallet. It's a point-of-sale register and biometric payment terminal. Pulse Wallet lets customers link their credit cards and other payment methods to their palms so they can leave their wallets at home. Hey, just check your brain at the door, too, and take this mark of the beast, right? That's pretty much what's coming, isn't it? We know that's what's coming, but that's what the game plan is. All of these things are nothing more than precursors for that. Each one is a step closer to implementing what they want to do. As we don't know what time that's going to be exactly, but I'll tell you what, it sure isn't looking very good, is it? Sure isn't looking very good for America right now. Sure isn't looking very good for this world right now. And we better understand this is not our home. Amen. This is not. The governments of this world and everything else, it's not. I mean, we're subject to God Almighty first. and His Word. And you better think about before you do things, before you add things in and you run with these things. They've got these Google Glasses. That's been really, really popular. That's another tool. They've got other things that they're using now, too, as well, to heighten the online experience. And basically, they want you to download your brain to the Internet or upload yourself to the Internet. The head of Google, I read an article the other day about him, and he was saying he could live digitally forever on his computer. And I thought that was kind of strange. I said, boy, there's something wrong with that. That doesn't sound normal. But he said that he was going to he would be able to upload himself to the computer, if I got this right, upload himself to the computer someday, and then he'd be able to live in infinity, basically. It's all about seeking eternal life without the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins. That's what they want to do. They want to live forever without God. If you saw the Bill Nye debate and the Ken Ham debate there, you would realize exactly what was going on there with Bill Nye. His whole speech was nothing more than Antichrist speech. Google that. Brother Lonnie, if you want to put that on the Faith Baptist page, I know you put that article on there about the raid in Ankeny, Iowa. Look for this one, the debate that was on. It's on the Answers in Genesis page. But you can link that debate there, and you can put it on the page, and folks can watch that. But listen, I mean, there's better debates out there, Kent Hovind and others like that. But I'll tell you, the interesting thing about this debate was you could hear the Antichrist speech coming from Bill Nye. You could just hear it if you understand that spirit of Antichrist. If you can. See the scriptures and you can relate to that and understand what's really going on, then guess what? Then what you will find is that he is pushing an Antichrist, I will ascend to Godhood without Jesus Christ or without God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall be as God, said Satan. Wow, that's interesting. Brother Nate just sent me another article introducing Irwin, the robot with feelings. Irwin, an emotional robot with intelligent network, has been developed at the University of Lincoln as part of a study attempting to understand how long-term relationships may be forged between humans and androids. Yeah, that's just really strange, right? That's really weird. That's just really strange, actually. Wow. These durable relationships could be important in cases where a robot operates as a personal aid or companion. For example, when providing care for the elderly or support for people with autism. Hey, I got something for you. We're spied on all the time. They can turn your computer camera on. They can do all these other things. By the way, this is not some spooky conspiracy guy. This is the government that says they can do all this. They admit all this. So nobody's hiding anything. You just don't look into it so you think it's crazy when you hear it. But it's all out there. It's all there. They say it. They don't deny it. So what happens when they turn your robot against you? Huh? What happens when they give you one of these robots and they program that robot to lock you into your home? Huh? Think about that one. So, oh, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? No, it's not crazy. If they can send drones out and bomb people and bomb weddings overseas and kill everybody in there, men, women, and children, to get two people, then, yeah, it doesn't seem unlikely that they could program a robot to do some of these things and to lock you into your home if they had to. You know, this is just the beginning of the times that we live in right now. By the way, it appears they would like you to download that debate. They would like you to buy that debate, which, I mean, I understand that. It's okay. I understand. But it looks like that's what they want folks to do, is to buy it. So I'm not sure about that. Wow, another article that I've seen here in UK Science there. the real-life Death Star. U.S. researchers developing laser 100,000 times more powerful than all Earth's power stations combined. Wow. Unbelievable. That is just unbelievable. I'll drop that link to Brother Lonnie and he can put that on the page there. Wow. You know. Unbelievable. This is what's going on, though. This is where our future is here with everything. I mean, it will emit a short laser burst with an intensity of 1,023 watts per square centimeter, 100,000 times more powerful than all the power stations in the world combined. Laser bursts will last only 1/100,000th of a billionth of a second. Laser being built by Lawrence Livermore Lab in the U.S. Wow. It'll be the most powerful ever created. You think about that. And you know, your precious Republicans, your precious Republicans, they are war hawks and they love all this stuff, man. They want to get as many weapons as they can. They want to build up an army as big as they can. They want to do as much as they can. You know, that's their goal. You know, their goal is that they want to look at what's going on. How did we get here? Well, God says how we got here, but that's their real goal. They want to mess around in space and do a whole bunch of crazy things. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's the times we live in, folks. They're getting dangerous. They're getting bad. And it's times that we've got to cling to our Bibles. Amen. We got to cling to the Lord and we got to reach this lost and dying world for Jesus Christ. We got to go out and preach the gospel. We got to get out there. We need to wake up and understand that whether it's Obama or John Boehner, none of them are on your side. We got to be on the side of Jesus Christ. We got to preach the truth. We got to start churches. Listen, there are so many people out in the middle of nowhere, and they don't have a church to go to. There's so many people that don't even have a good Bible-believing church. They don't believe the King James Bible. They don't stand. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They write me all the time. They write me all the time and they tell me how things are going and how hard it is and how they don't have a church to go to. And the churches that are around them don't believe the Bible's the Word of God anymore. They fight the King James Bible and all kinds of stuff. This is what they're facing. Hey, let me ask you a question here. I've seen this article, too, before. Let me ask you this. What would the U.S. Postal Service announce a giant ammo purchase for? Can anybody think of why the ammo or why the post office needs, you know, a billion rounds of ammunition? Why would a post office need that? Why would the post office purchase that? Does that not sound odd to you? That is the strangest thing I've ever heard. Why we would have the post office purchasing all that ammunition. All right, well, listen, we're going to go to a break here with the Marksman Quartet here. This is my crowd, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Sure ain't proud.
Broadcast, and we've been talking about all the things that are going on in this crazy world of ours, and just understanding that this world is slipping into the clutches of that Antichrist spirit more and more, and it's sad, really, what we see. But God said it would happen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ promised us in His Word that these things would come to pass, that we would see all of these things happen, you know, we're seeing it. We're seeing a lot of things going on and understanding them from that perspective. So anyway, just keep all that in mind. And remember that, you know, these people are largely on the same side. Remember also TSA, they're banning liquids again. So there you go. Carry on liquids. Fun, right? What's going on today? But that is what's happening. Now, I've been talking a little bit about for the last week here. I preached at Old Paths Baptist Church. I preached on rock music, and I preached a series a while back on rock music, and talked about it. Talked about a lot of it, talked about, basically, I started out, there's a sermon that Brother Lonnie could post on the page, and it's called "The Religion Voodoo is the Religion of Rock Music." And if he can find that on my sermon audio page, you know, he'll be able to take a look at that. And you can see that sermon there. That was one of the first ones, the spirit of rock and roll music, and, you know, that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of Antichrist, and all kinds of things like that we covered in that series. Rock music is pagan. It's pagan music. And they admit it. They admit where it comes from. If you look at the founders that came over, I mean, those that came over with it, it's not godly music, and they don't claim it as godly music. Okay, they don't. Well, some do now, these contemporary ones, which I'm going to talk about next week. But largely they don't claim it as godly music. They claim it as, hey, we want to rebel against God. That's what we want to do. And it's here. It's popular. It's in churches. I remember Rick Warren, seeing Rick Warren. And he sang Purple Haze. Rick Warren sang Purple Haze on the stage of his Global Vision and all that kind of stuff. He sang Purple Haze. Could you imagine that? Listen to this. I'll read this to you. Before Warren stated his new vision, he did something he said he had wanted to do for a long time. He sang Jimi Hendrix's drug-drenched song, Purple Haze, to his congregation, accompanied by his praise and worship band. There has never been anything innocent or pure about rock and roll. This is his quotes here. David Cloud's quotes. This is from wayoflife.org. And you can /database/Purple Haze. Purple Haze, the song goes this. Purple Haze all in my brain. Lately things just don't seem the same. Acting funny, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Purple Haze all around. Don't know if I'm coming up or down. Am I happy or in misery? Whatever it is, that girl put a spell on me. Purple Haze all in my eyes. Don't know if it's day or night. You got me blowing my mind. Is it tomorrow or just the end of time? Wow. Think about that. That was done at a so-called Baptist church. Purple Haze. So to say that this stuff isn't happening in churches, it's happening. Rock music, I mean, he just skipped the CCM and went right to the real stuff. You know, sad, isn't it? Is it not the saddest thing you've ever seen? This is what's going on in churches. It used to be that preachers used to preach against this stuff, but now they don't really talk about it that much. I'm seeing a trend that I've experienced in churches. Well, they'll mention some things like this, but they will stay away from teaching on these things and explaining these things in detail. You know what happens to the kids? The kids grow up and they go out and experiment with it because it wasn't like Agag. Like, it's like Saul with Agag. Saul left all the pleasant things still alive, and he left Agag alive. And that old prophet, that old preacher came up with his sword and he said, "What are you doing? Why is he not dead?" And Samuel sliced Agag up and cut him to bits and got rid of him and killed him. That's what we ought to do with sin. There should no sin be left unpreached on. Amen? Without preaching on it, it should be preached on. All sin should be. But anyway, so rock and roll music is a serious issue. And if you think it's gone away, you know, or it's not a part of it anymore, it's not a big deal anymore in churches, or it is a big deal. It's a big deal in Baptist churches. It's a big deal all over the place. So anyway, so I preached on that, rock and roll music. And a few months ago, I did a series on that a little bit. I only preached about three messages, I think it was, on there. Oh, the first one was called, you should listen to this one too. It's called When Israel Had a Rock Concert. And I don't know if you've never heard that one before, but if you haven't heard it, you should go listen to it. When Israel Had a Rock Concert. And it covers the incident when Moses was on the mountain with God, and they heard the noise of war in the camp, and God said, "Get down there, those people defiled themselves." And Joshua said, "There's noise of war in the camp." No, it's not the voice of mastery I hear, but it's that singing and dancing, Moses said. That's what they're doing. Isn't that something? Pretty crazy stuff. Anyway, you can listen to that sermon. And that one will kind of give you an idea of where I was going with that. And then you'll listen to the Spirit of Rock Music, if you would, and then sometime listen to the voodoo religion of rock music. That'll be an interesting one too as well. But now we're going to talk about something a little bit different here. We're going to go along the same lines as rock music, we're going to go along and we're going to talk about familiar spirits. We're going to talk about familiar spirits a little bit here tonight. And you say, "Why, preacher? What do you want to talk about familiar spirits for? That just seems strange." Well, because first of all, rock musicians, they consult familiar spirits. I call rock musicians, and the title of this show tonight was "Rock Musicians are wizards, are modern-day wizards that deal with familiar spirits. Because I believe that. I believe that. I believe that I can prove that these guys, from their own words, see, I like using their own words against them. I like taking their own words that they use, that they talk about, and using it against them to tell the truth about what's really going on with rock music. You've got preachers that are soft-selling this, that are bragging about having these kind of people in. We're not even going to touch CCM today. We're going to get that next week. But the reason I want to cover this with familiar spirits, I want to show you what the Bible says about familiar spirits. And then sometime in the future, I'm going to have Brother Nate come on the show with me. Nate's going to come on today, too. But he's going to come on the show with me in the future, and we are going to do a show covering death metal music. Because death metal music has captured the young, the culture, the young people in America today. And we're not going to talk about that today. But Nate was a musician. And he played music and sang and a few other things. And he's going to come on, and we're going to talk the rest of the show. You know, I might have him on the rest of the show with me. I don't know how long he can stay on. We're going to talk about some things, but we're not really going to highlight the death metal on this show. We're going to talk about familiar spirits. We're going to talk about some of these other things. So I'm going to give him some time, and I'm going to just get started here with this. And I want to lay the groundwork down for familiar spirits, what the Bible says about that. Listen, folks, there are people today that do not believe that they're it's like they believe that devil possession was a different dispensation. Now, that's foolishness. Because devil possession is real. It's really happening. People are being possessed right now by devils. This music conjured up is much of this music that is conjured up has a lot to do with devils. They get their inspiration from devils. This is real stuff, folks. And these devils are real. Excuse me. They are real, and these spirits, they roam the earth, and these people, they have something to do with them. These rock musicians do. Anyway, what's the Bible say about familiar spirits, and what do I mean by that? Well, let me give you a dictionary definition first, just so you kind of get an idea. Familiar spirit from Easton's Bible Dictionary. Familiar spirits are sorcerers or necromancers who profess to call up the dead to answer questions. They were said to have a familiar spirit. Such a person was called by the Hebrews an ab, which properly means a leathern bottle. For sorcerers were regarded as vessels containing the inspiring devil. The Hebrew word was equivalent to pytho of the Greeks, and was used to denote both the person and the spirit which possessed him. The word familiar is from the Latin familiaris, meaning a household servant. It was intended to express the idea that sorcerers had spirits as their servants, ready to obey their commands. Isn't that something? Now, we're going to see accounts of this in the scriptures here tonight. We're going to see what the Bible says about that, and actually see that that's real. That really happened. And you believe the Bible, don't you? You believe the Word of God and what it says, don't you? I hope you do. I hope you believe the Scriptures. It says here in another dictionary, used in a number of Old Testament passages of spirits which were supposed to come at the call of one who had power over them. Literally, something hollow. Because the voice of the Spirit might have been supposed to come from the one possessed. Anyway, so you get the point of it. From the dictionary, the word familiar is derived basically from the same Latin word used for family, and it is applied to that which is known through constant association, especially with reference to persons. A familiar spirit is an evil spirit that has managed to gain entrance into the family line. The familiar spirit will stay with the bloodline or the family tree until the lineage dies out or they are cast out. They are spirits assigned by Satan to families. They are spirits that are familiar to a person, a thing, or a place. If they are cast out from one family, they will seek another family or stay inside pets maintained by the original family. This was from a sermon that a man had preached online, but it sounds pretty accurate as far as understanding what the scriptures say about familiar friends. We understand that the devils went into pigs, that Jesus cast those unclean spirits into pigs. So we do understand that that can happen, that they can possess animals as well. Isn't that something? Isn't that something to think about? Familiar spirits get to know that person and gain an intimate knowledge about them, how they act and react to a situation, to better know how to tempt them. They often tempt with the power of suggestion. That's what familiar spirits do. They possess the witch, or they can possess people and give them knowledge and understanding they would not normally have. Or they can inspire them like we see with rock musicians. We're going to see some of their words a little bit later in the next hour. We're just laying the groundwork this hour. But we'll see some of their words in the next hour. And we'll kind of get the idea. We'll get the idea of what's really going on here with these familiar spirits. And understand this is happening today. You know, this stuff is happening every day. And we need to be on our guard and understand this is it. You know, I'm very concerned for people today. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm concerned for a lot of Christians today, born-again believers today. And my concern for them is this, that they do not see this as a war. They do not see this life as a war. They see it as some kind of a cakewalk. They don't look at this world as a war, a spiritual war. I don't mean physical, for our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. And, you know, I want people to understand that. I want them to understand the battle that's here with music. And you know what? Brother Nate's going to come on and talk a little bit later. Hey, if Brother Moonen wants to say something, he sure can. He's got a testimony of this and understands a lot of these things. So I'd love to hear from him, too. That'd be all right with me.
Hello?
Hello, is this Brother Moonen?
Yes, it is. I didn't know I was on the air.
Hey, we put you right through, brother. How you doing?
How are you doing, brother? Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm doing good, brother. It's good to talk to you.
First time I ever spoke to you.
That's right. This is the first time. And you did two videos for us.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, I appreciate you doing that, brother. The Lord really, really blessed that. That really touched my heart that God would use that in that way and we'd be able to work together like that. That's I've got some materials to send to you here this week too. I'm excited to send you out and get those taken care of here this week. But praise God,
we love materials.
Amen. That's right. And I know you're doing a lot of work. Hey, while I got you on the line, why don't you talk about some of the work for us? I know you weren't planning on doing that, but could you mention a few of the videos? I know you did a video for me on for us on the Superman, a Man of Steel, Man of Sin. And you did another one on Hollywood, Satanic Roots. Explain us the ministry that God has given you. Can you explain that for a few minutes here?
Well, I can try to. I'm still a little bit in the middle of it myself. It's all pretty new because the Lord just kind of moved on my life this year to just start going off on these videos, basically, because I have all this equipment. I have a small business, and I've been studying, and I have a lot of zeal, and I just desire to help people to gain discernment from God's word and to battle against the spiritual realm that we're facing. And I see so much, I don't even know if you can call it apathy. I see so much weakness and ignorance among the brethren, those that are saved.
Uh-huh.
I see too much in the church that's just dying and withering away from the weakness that's coming out of the corporate pulpits, and just trying to help and warn. So I began getting involved in that, and I did listen to your messages, and I felt that the Lord would have me to produce those videos just to try to multiply the chance of who can hear them, because I was getting some views on YouTube, some pretty modest views on my channel. I thought, you know, this message can get out there, and I wasn't sure if you were on. I know you're on audio and sermon audio and this and that, so, you know, it worked out. And the Hollywood one, that really hit home for me, because you and I went through some very similar changes with that. You know, we might have been raised in a similar generation. You know, I was all about TV and movies and everything and growing up. And now as a dad, you know, we had Little House on the Prairie, and I thought I was, you know, walking a pretty straight line watching that with my daughter, and she loved the books. And, you know, I, of course, remembered the show and, you know, all the tearjerkers, they would call it.
Oh, man.
And I did my own research and found out about why those tears were coming out of my eyes. Michael Landon, his demonic influence over his script writing. And, you know, it opened my eyes, and I threw them away, got rid of the DVDs. My children were okay with that. They understood what was going on. And praise the Lord, my kids are very teachable, and they're very sensitive to the things of the Lord. So that hit home for me. I thought, you know, I need to get that out, because there's not a lot of preachers that are touching these subjects.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, brother. They're not. And you also have a lot of other good ones on there, too. On C.S. Lewis and Witchcraft in Narnia, and you've got some other ones on there about Disney's Evil Kingdom. And I'll tell you one. I just watched this, brother. I didn't tell you I watched this yet, but I watched your video on Sight and Sound Theaters Exposed. Brother Nate actually told me, hey, you need to watch this. And I said, sure. So I watched it, brother. Wow, I was shocked. I had no idea. I've never been a part of any of that, but I didn't know it even existed, and I didn't know that people were using that for evangelism.
Yeah, well, I don't know what kind of evangelism happens there. I've been told that people are, you know, get saved, quote unquote, there. But I'm not gonna doubt that. And I'm sure there are people in that organization that are saved. I'm sure there probably would be. There's hundreds of people working there. There's probably got to be some Christians there. You know, it's a Christian ministry. But once again, it's pragmatism, yoking up with the world, and using sin to try and promote God's word. And in this case, it's not even God's word, because it's a bunch of people prancing around in tights and singing the dialogue that's not even in God's word. So I don't know how you can really get the story from it's just being entertained. You know, it's all based on feeding the flesh. And then when you dig deeper, you find out that the people who write the music for the plays are the same exact people who write the music for the Hollywood entertainment TV shows like Desperate Housewives. Yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah, so, you know, where are we going with that? You know, how is the Lord, the almighty creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to get glory and bless a ministry that is using music written by devils?
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
Uh-uh.
That's not the God of the Bible, brother.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right, brother. Absolutely.
He doesn't change.
No, he sure doesn't. And he doesn't like sin either. He still hates it.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of other things going on there, but, you know, I'm glad you watched that. And that was one of my earlier ones, and, you know, I'm working on, you can pray for me, because I have a slight streak of sarcasm that sometimes, I don't know if it just creeps out a little too much, but I'm trying to be meek in what I'm doing and share things out of love. I do have a deep concern for people. You know, I just don't believe in beating around the bush.
I don't either. Yeah, just remember this one thing though, brother. Paul used sarcasm too. If you look at when the Apostle Paul dealt with the Corinthians, I mean, it is just dripping with sarcasm in there. When you look at what he did, I preached a sermon on there. If you never heard that before, go listen to that sometime. I know there's a point where you can go too far with it, but I mean, it's interesting. Listen to that sermon. It's called Paul's Sarcasm. And, because that's exactly what he does. He uses sarcasm to get the point. Jesus did it too. He used it too.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, I praise the Lord for the ministry God's gave you, brother, and I'm very grateful for that. And, it's been a blessing. And our folks have watched this, and they've got quite a few hits on these. That the Lord has really had people look at and see these videos.
Well, praise God. I mean, he's just, you know, he's going to use us for whatever reason. I mean, if we're a vessel, you know, that's even somewhat worthy of being used. I mean, I can't seem to fathom it myself.
I know it. It's hard to understand, isn't it? How merciful and how God uses us, even as flawed as we are. Amen.
Yes, I just want to hit one thing on the topic that you're talking about tonight, real quick. Before
absolutely.
I'm not sure how much time you have to
sure,
waste
just have
on
a
me,
few,
but
I got a few more minutes,
brother.
Go ahead.
I'm wrapping up a video that's going to be going online on turnfromyouridols.com with it's about Michael W. Smith. And he has this organization that you probably know about called Rocket Town in Nashville. Well, you're going to really be shocked by the video then.
Oh, I'll have to watch.
Well, it's supposed to be a teen outreach, and they call it a non-traditional ministry. I've called it more like satanic. They have satanic bands there that it's not even music. It's pornographic, violent. It's like death metal. They're performing death metal in this Christian club, and it's organized by Michael W. Smith.
Wow.
And the more I looked into it, yeah. And when you find out about him, you know, his influence, a lot of his influence, of course, like the Beatles and Alan Parsons Project. Who would you think that kind of like a soft rock type thing, but his music was wicked too, you know. He had an album called Lucifer.
Wow.
And he has another album about with the Eye of Horus on the cover, and they were very, 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 very wicked, and they knew what they were about, you know. And
brother,
so it's strange.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
He named his first album the Michael W. Smith Project and talked about how he was influenced by the Alan Parsons Project. They are the ones who did The Eye in the Sky. Well,
wow.
What do you think that eye in the sky represents? You know, you've seen it on the back of your dollar bill.
Oh, yeah, the Eye of Horus?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Nate is agreeing with you here. He's messaging me. He's telling me that Michael W. Smith is Luciferian.
Yeah.
And, wow. Wow, boy, we really opened up a big can here tonight.
So it's not just the Hendrix and the, of course, the Metallicas and all the things that we all remember from our lost lives. It's some of these, you know, cornier. I don't know how else you word it. I mean, it's just light rock or whatever. And of course, Michael Smith, he's always been in between popular music and Christian music. He's always had one. You know, one foot in the secular side anyways, but.
You know, it's sad, brother, but that is what's going on. We need to expose this, and I'm very grateful for your ministry, brother, and I'm glad you called in. And if you want to stay on hold and listen to the show, I don't know if you're listening like that or if you're listening online or you know, how you.
Well, I'm listening online, and I'm probably going to be getting the kids to bed here shortly. It's
okay.
A little later here than it is over in your neck of the woods.
Oh, that's true. You're in New York, right?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of snow, and we're thankful for our home here and
amen.
Our heat. And, you know, the grid is still up, so.
Amen. Amen. I know it, brother. It's been bad. It's been bad here, too. Well, listen, brother, I got to let you go because we're going to head into break. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you again some other time.
Praise the Lord. I thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me, brother, and God bless you. And just remember, you know, the Lord is in control, and just bless his name. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Have a good
God
night.
God bless. Good night.
You too. All right, we got to go to a break right now, and we're coming with the Marksman Quartet. Don't Take Your Life, Take Mine by the Marksman Quartet. We'll be right back.
Every battle is sin. My mind was fighting a war I couldn't win. Satan said, you're better off dead than alive. So I had decided that I'd take my life. My soul's trembling outside the gates of hell. That hour of weakness, my troubled mind fell. Oh, but then I heard Jesus call. Mercy and grace. Somebody was praying. I heard Jesus saying, don't take your life. Don't take your life. Don't take your life. Take mine. Then to an old rugged cross, and the preacher who told me Jesus died for the lost. I thank God he held me and would not let go. He didn't just save my life, but he saved. Somebody was praying, I heard Jesus saying, don't take your life, don't take your life, don't take your life, take mine.
Right, we are back on the Old Paths broadcast, and we had Brother Brian Moonen on here, and Brother Brian, if you could link, I sent you a link to one of the videos that he did. Can you put that video on the Faith Baptist Facebook page there? And that way folks can go over there and visit his YouTube page and his ministry. What the Lord has laid on his heart to do, and I'm telling you, it's a great ministry of revealing the error that's out there, the false doctrine that's out there, the things that are afflicting the churches today, and we want to see people get that information there. Watch that Hollywood Satanic Roots. Watch the Superman one, Man of Steel, Man of Sin. That's a good one. And then, man, so is his C.S. Lewis, Narnia. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So watch it and learn some things there. And we're very grateful for his ministry there. And I was very surprised that the Lord had led him to even ask me about that sermon there, Hollywood Satanic Roots. All right. Well, listen, have I got Brother Nate on here?
Yep.
All right, Brother Nate's here. Good. We're gonna give a few verses here, Brother Nate. I'm gonna keep you on here for a minute and let me keep talking here for a little while. And I'm gonna talk a little about familiar spirits and then get right into this rock and roll music. And you know, before I do, why don't you give? You don't have to give an exhaustive thing, but what's been your experience? Let's just say with rock music as a whole. Not to go in too deep to, because we're going to do a show about this, but just give a little bit of a testimony of what the Lord's done in your life.
Well, I got into rock music when I was younger, probably from my dad mostly, and he turned me on to some of the harder rock like Led Zeppelin and AC/DC, Black Sabbath, and I found that that was definitely a gateway drug, and it led to heavier metal type music, and it just got heavier and heavier. And pretty soon I was in a band and death metal singing, and I was pretty deep into that for a while. And then Lord started revealing some things to me about how evil and wicked it is. And then after I got saved, I studied the issue out about music and repented of that. And the Lord took me out of it. So that's pretty much sums it up. But yeah, it's a very, very powerful force that it has grips over people. So.
It sure does, brother, and you can attest to that. You've seen a lot of bad things, haven't you?
Yep.
Music is, you know, I find it. Music has a spirit. It either has the spirit of God's blessing on it, or it has the spirit of Antichrist on it.
Amen.
It's not that, you know. It's not that hard to detect when something is not correct, especially when you listen to the spirit of rock music. You know, I think about these rock and rollers, and CCMers are the same way. But you ever notice how idolatry fills their music? It's all about them and CCM. It's not about Jesus Christ. And in rock music, it's about them being stars.
Yep.
You know
in
what
fact,
I never...
A lot of the songs, they don't even mention the name of Jesus, you know?
Doesn't Michael W. Smith have like three albums that don't even mention Christ?
Exactly.
I think David Cloud said that. I was listening to a sermon that you sent me from David Cloud. And
yep.
David Cloud was talking about how, man, there's like three albums here that don't even mention Jesus' name, and he says it's Christian music.
How can that even be defined as Christians?
Can't. It's devilish. It's wrong. It's just plain wrong. Well, listen now, some verses on familiar spirits here. You hang on there a second, Nate, because I'll be getting your input here in a minute, if you've got time, that is.
Sure.
Okay, good. All right, Deuteronomy. Listen, what's the Bible say about familiar spirits? Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I'm where you're to get your power from. I'm where you're to get your inspiration from. I'm to be your all in all. You don't need magic. You don't need to go to anybody else. Seek out the Lord. Seek the Lord. Amen. All right. Then he goes on to say, and the soul that turneth after such that has familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now we're going to scroll down to Saul here. And in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse number 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath familiar spirit, that I may go to her, and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on another raiment, and he went, and two men were with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? Notice how demented and full of witchcraft and full of just evil spirit Saul was. He looks at that woman and he says this in 1 Samuel 28:10, "And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Can you imagine, brother? Can you imagine that?
No.
Looking at a woman that's a witch and telling her that God, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.
Yeah,
scary, isn't it? No, it doesn't make sense. It's not biblical. There's nothing. He knew the God of the Bible was. Now, there are differences of opinion. I got into this in my sermon, but I won't here. There are differences of opinion of what exactly took place here. We know that a familiar spirit, it says that a familiar spirit, divine, it said, see, you know, it said, Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying that won't happen. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Well, if this was Samuel, which I mean, you know, anyway, but, and Saul perceived that it was Samuel, okay, and anyway, but that's a long story. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But anyway, some folks may have a difference of opinion. Now, moving on to 2 Kings chapter 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. I mean, he sounds like a Catholic worshiping all the hosts of heaven, doesn't he? Isn't that what Rome does? Don't they worship the hosts of heaven? And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of the which the Lord said to Jerusalem, will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts in heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire. Isn't it amazing how close this is with children, with witchcraft, with sodomy, and with everything else? It all just kind of ties in. It all goes together. And he observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Now, Brother Nate, has it been your experience that, does it seem like to you that most pastors today don't touch anything to do with any of this witchcraft and wizards and all that other stuff? They don't even talk about it?
It's pretty much between 95 to 99% of the time, you never hear anything about it.
It's almost like they don't believe there's really a spirit world out there, isn't it?
Absolutely, and they also kind of view witchcraft as a joke. They might even think of these movies, but they think of witchcraft as people riding around on brooms and kind of this like silly thing. And they don't realize that it's very real, and that there are witches that are out there that do rituals, that they contact the spirits of devils, and they do have a limited amount of power, whatever God lets them have, and it does affect the real world, and it's very dangerous. They need to be aware of these things.
I mean, one of the things that we see is child trafficking and children kidnapped and everything else like that. That happens
right
all over the country. Now, I happen to believe that's witchcraft. That's what I believe.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
You know, I don't mean all of it, but I mean a great portion of it is. I'm sure of that. That's really happening out there. But anyway. It's almost like these pastors don't really believe that there's a spirit world out there. They never talk, oh, I don't want to talk about anything. Why not? Why don't
negative.
You want to prepare people? Oh, it's negative. I don't want to be negative. You know what? Why don't you want to prepare people for what's going on? They need to understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah, I've heard people say, Christians say, oh, if you talk about Satan, you're giving him power.
By the way, that statement is witchcraft right there. When somebody makes a statement like that, that if you talk about Satan, you're saying that there's power in that word that's going to give him power. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
If I talk about him and reprove him, listen, I'm a born-again believer with the Holy Ghost of God dwelling inside of me, sealed under the day of redemption. Let me tell you something. I have the shield of faith
Amen.
That is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what the Bible says, correct?
Amen.
So guess what? That means that we have to teach this book, and we teach people on these things. we explain it to them so they understand it, and they understand that there are devils around them everywhere. There is a spirit world around them everywhere. These devils are around, these spirits are around, and they are working for the devil. And that's what they do. And they also work with rock musicians. They also work with rock musicians, and these rock musicians have no problem admitting that they work with them, do they?
No, that's why it's hilarious. I've shown people, lost people. My last boss I worked for, I showed him these quotes from these musicians from their own mouths that they let spirits use them and all this stuff about the devil and all stuff. And you don't have to come up with any conspiracy theories because you just let them talk for themselves, and it's pretty plain. They can't even, you know, these lost people can't deny it. So.
Well, the devil, he's bold about that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, he's very bold about it. If you know where to look at it, he's very bold about it, and he'll explain it. Now, there's other ways. Now, I'll tell you where he conceals. I'll tell you where he conceals a lot of this stuff. He conceals it in contemporary Christian music. See, he likes to use that as a hiding place. That's a place. Now for the spiritually discerning people, it's no hide. We see it right away, don't we? We're like,
yeah, it's kind of funny if you think about it. The heavier the music you go, the more bold it is. It's, you know, because by the time you reach death metal, it's just full blown. I hail Satan right out in the open.
I mean, you showed me a video of a devil's eating angels' wings.
Yeah, right. You can't get much more evil than that. And anyways, but then the lighter you go, is like you said, the more concealed they are. What you find out now, though, is in the pop music that goes on today and in the soft rock and stuff like that, it used to be more concealed, but it's becoming more and more bold in the mainstream on the stuff that's on, like, the top 40 pop stations. It's becoming more Luciferian, more satanic, openly.
It sure is, brother. It sure is. It's amazing. I mean, there are signs that they're doing. I mean, you got Jay-Z and them doing their little witchcraft seance up there on stage, you know, their ceremonies without any hesitation or reservation. I mean, Madonna and her Kabbalah that she did on stage and all that stuff is just sad, isn't it?
It's wicked.
It's wicked. It is wicked, and people are being seduced by it. Well, let's read some of these quotes here by them. Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend said this. He used to always talk about some devil or something was in him. You know, he didn't know what made him act the way he acted and what made him say the things he said. And the songs and different things like that just came out of him. It seems to me he was so tormented and just torn apart and like he really was obsessed, you know, with something really evil. I was sighted by the heartbeat of the dragon. In the song The Conjuring by Megadeth, the real mission of rock is clearly heard. I am the devil's advocate, a salesman, if you will. Come join me in my infernal depths. I've got your soul. At the end of the song, they chant obey. In the cover song, The Prince, Metallica openly sings, Angel from below, I wish to sell my soul. Devil, take my soul. With diamonds you repay. I don't care for heaven, so don't you look for me to cry, and I will burn in hell from the day I die.
Wow.
You know, he's saying that he sold his soul for rock and roll. That's what he's saying. He's saying for the money.
Why would you want to burn in hell?
Weird, ain't it?
It's irrational.
So deluded, isn't it? It's satanic. When these people are satanic, there is no rationalism with Satan. He's completely wicked. And, you know, I've tried, brother, many times I've had people in our church that have just things that have happened that people have had to leave our church and been disciplined out and bad things have happened. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm learning is you just cannot try to understand evil because you won't really be able to understand it, you know, to the depths of that wickedness. And doing so will only just take too much time up trying to understand it. You just got to chalk it up to wickedness and just move on, because it's just, it doesn't make sense. Manson, Marilyn Manson claims his album Antichrist Superstar came via supernatural inspiration. I heard this album is finished. I heard it in dreams. It was like the revelations of John the Baptist or something. Huh. What a nut. Carlos Santana admits to being controlled by demons and having no concern for morality of God. He says this: the energy of devils and angels is the same energy. It's how you use it. It's fuel. There is a saying, if you scare all your devils away, the angels will go with them. You know, the halo and the horns are the same thing. I mean, it's okay to be spiritually, I'm not going to use the word he used, but he's talking about spiritually wanting a woman. I'll put it that way. That's what creative genius is all about. Geniuses don't have time to think about how it's going to be received. They don't have time to think whether people like it or not. Is it morally right? Will God like it? Carlos Santana, Rolling Stones. He says here, you meditate and you got the candles, you got the incense, and you've been chanting, and all of a sudden you hear this voice, write this down. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Openly admitting it. He says, I know it sounds new age, but in my meditation, this entity, which is called Metatron, he said we want to hook you back on the radio airwave frequency. We want you to reach junior high schools and universities. Once you reach them, because we are going to connect you with the best artists of the day, then we want you to present them a new menu. Let them know that they are themselves multidimensional spirits with enormous possibilities and opportunities. We want you to present them with a new form of existence that transcends religion, politics, or the modus operandi of education today. Have you ever heard of that Metatron?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about that. Well, about the statement that devil or whatever made to him. Santana was, he was kind of bigger back in the day, I don't know, whenever, the 70s or 80s, but when he made the comeback, it exactly happened the way that devil said it was going to happen, that he hooked up with people like Matchbox 20, and they had that song, whatever it was. It was huge. It was like number one in the charts for months and months and months. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And Santana was on that, and he teamed up with all these artists, suddenly just having Santana play guitar in their albums. Why? And they become like the most popular songs. It's not an accident. These devils are the ones that orchestrate this stuff.
Right, exactly. See? I mean, that is the way they do it. And I remember him like not being around, and then in the 90s and the early 2000s, that's when Santana became popular again.
Right, exactly.
And so I remember this happening, which is very strange, but this Metatron told him exactly what was going to happen.
And then they made it happen.
Yeah.
The devils can't really prophesy the future. So what they do is they say something's going to happen, and then they do everything to make it happen. So it makes it seem like they've told the future.
Yeah, it is amazing. They can predict things. They're very predictable, is what they are. And, they can predict by being around everything what's going to happen, trends and temptations and all that kind of stuff. They're very smart. Somebody said that is called So Smooth.
Yeah, that's the one, yep. Thank you.
Yeah, it's called So Smooth.
And the music is so powerful that I can even hear it in my head right now, and it could probably get stuck in my head if I didn't try to get it out.
Well, I'll tell you, brother, it's amazing. But when this music, I know if somebody, if there was a song that I used to listen to and it starts going off, in my mind, it'll start coming up. I mean, I can remember the whole thing. And that
That's
music,
years ago.
It's been 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and I can still, and I remember where I was at when I listened to it too.
Exactly. So powerful.
It is very powerful. And they know
what it is. One of the things about music, I was talking to you about this guy the other day, G. Craig Lewis, and he made a good point about music, though. It's like you know, when someone's talking to you, like, you know, someone's giving a lecture or anything like that, someone's talking to you, you can choose to block them out if you want to. But when music plays, you can't stop it. It just goes directly into you. Like, and then he gave the example of, like, you know, if I were to say ba da ba ba ba, you know, you'd say the same. Well, what was the other one? Oh, the best part of waking up, and then you'd be able to finish
that,
right?
Hey, that's Folgers in your cup.
That's right. He said, and then he asked the question: did you buy the Folgers album?
I didn't.
You didn't intentionally learn that song, right?
No.
It just sticks with you. It just goes straight into you. Into your soul, you know, to
wow.
your mind, sticks there.
Wow. Powerful, and they know it. And he says here, I know it sounds new age, but in my meditation, this entity, which is called Metatron, Metatron is an angel. Santana has been in regular contact with him since 1994. That makes sense, because 94, right after that last of the year, of the late 90s, that's when he started getting big again.
Exactly.
Wow. Unreal. Carlos will sit here facing the wall, the candles lit. He has a yellow legal pad at one side, ready for the communications that will come. It's kind of like a fax machine, he says. Isn't that something? He tells me more about Metatron is the architect of physical life. This is what got me when he said the architect.
Yeah, the great architect. Like in Freemasonry?
Yeah, that's what really got me, that same spirit, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because of him, we can French kiss, we can hug, we can get a hot dog, wiggle our toe. He sees I don't know why he can't wiggle his toe without Metatron. And when he says Metatron, I keep thinking of Megatron off of
Transformers.
The kid, man. The original Transformers. All I see is... And he's going to transform it into the gun or whatever, man. That's all I think of when he keeps saying Metatron. I keep thinking Megatron.
Yeah, they probably picked that name for a reason.
Oh man, I'm telling you.
Just like Endora on the Bewitched show.
That's right. Anyway, he goes on to say he's Metatron. His dreams are he looks a bit like Santa Claus. White beard and kind of this jolly fellow. Metatron, who has been mentioned in mystical disciplines through the ages, also appears as the eyes inside the triangle. The eye inside the triangle. I would love somebody to do a search on Metatron and just who else talks about Metatron. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful in the occult. I've seen that when I used to study the occult. That name definitely came up as a powerful spirit that people conjure up when they do rituals.
Fallen angel, huh?
Well, yeah, probably something from the lines of physicality or something like that.
Wow, crazy.
It says within Judaism, it's an archangel.
Really?
Yeah, and if you look up Wikipedia, Metatron is an archangel in Judaism. According to the Jewish medieval apocrypha, he is, well, they try to say he's Enoch, transformed into an angel. But that's just their traditions, you know. So there's some interesting things.
It is a form of Megatron transforming then. I'm just kidding. But that's insane, man. When I think about that, these people are blatant wizards. Santana is a wizard. All right, listen, we got a break coming up. You hang on, Nate. Hang on through the break here. We're gonna have the song by the Marksman Quartet, John Was a Baptist. Amen.
Like John, and baptized one by one.
John was a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist too.
They deal with familiar spirits, and when we left for the break, we were talking about Metatron, which is a devil entity that I believe it's found in Kabbalism. Is that right, Nate? Is it found in Kabbalism too, as well, or is that?
Yes, it's found in the Talmud.
Okay, all right. So, anyway, so you know this Santana, who's very famous. I mean, Santana, he gives a lot of credit to. To Metatron for being able to wiggle his toes, and he says he's a big fat guy that looks like Santa Claus. Well, that's enough for me to know that Santa Claus is probably the devil. But
sounds like Albert Pike.
Yeah, sounds like fat Albert Pike, right? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, he just looks like evil Santa Claus.
He does. That's true. Anyway, all right, but here's another quote about familiar spirits here, or dealing with familiar spirits here, by Ozzy Osbourne. He says this: I really wish I knew why I've done some of the things I've done over the years. I don't know if I'm a medium for some outside source. Whatever it is, frankly, I hope it's not what I think it is, Satan. Well, no.
Sorry, Ozzy, I think it is.
Yeah, Ozzy, we pretty much know it is. Hey, if you need to call in, our number is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. All right, we're going to move right along here. There's another devil entity that they talk about, a familiar spirit. Beyonce says that she is Sasha Fierce, and that's a spirit that lives within her that possesses her. She says, I have an out-of-body experiences on stages. If I cut my leg, if I fall, I don't even feel it. I'm so fearless. I'm not aware of my face or my body. Have you seen that with that Sasha Fierce? Have you seen what she says about that, brother?
Yes, I have. And what's pretty interesting about that there's some video, I guess, where she transforms into that Sasha Fierce personality, but it kind of looks like an animal, like a tiger. And you see this theme a lot in music videos and movies, is this fusion of animals and humans together, these hybrids. So
yeah,
I think pushing that theme. So,
wow, amazing. All right, well, listen, the Rain Man is a demon who is described by some celebrities. For example, Jay-Z as being who whispers beautiful numbers to him when he writes lyrics. He says that this Rain Man helps him. Tori Amos said this. She said, "I think music comes through dimensions." Now just stop right there and think about that for a second. Did you hear what she said? "I think music comes through dimensions."
Time travel.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking of Mike Hogg when I said stop right there. Did you get that? Were you thinking the same thing or what? I know, I was thinking the same thing.
Yep.
When you listen to him all the time, you'll start saying that. I send him messages sometimes that I say that to him. Stop right there. Anyway, Tori Amos, she said this, "I think music comes through dimensions. It's arrogant to think that you can create music on your own. There's a co-creation going on. I don't know with whom, but there is this well that we all tap into." She once said this, "I wanted to marry Lucifer. I don't consider Lucifer an evil force. I feel his presence with his music. I feel like he comes and sits on my piano."
Yeah.
I tend to believe her.
That's like Gnosticism. It's twisting everything around and making Lucifer seem like he's the good guy, God's the bad guy, you know?
That's right. That's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what's going on with that. You know, it's interesting. If you want more information, before I forget, folks, I preached a series, and I'm adding to it. I add to all these series. They're never, like, ended. I just leave them off for a little while as the Lord leads and get into something else, and then when God shows me something else, I go back to it. But I have a series on Satan, and there's about 12 messages on there. Listen to some of those. Demon possession is under that. Devil possession, there's three messages, but also Satan and who he is and what he does and what he has the authority and the power to do. You need to understand the spiritual battle you're in. You need to understand who your enemy is. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. So, and yeah, exactly. Pastor Brandon just messaged me and said the masses are mystified by it. And he's absolutely right, they are. Tori Amos, she says, what she says there. Angus Young, the lead guitarist for AC/DC, is called the guitar demon. And he admitted that something takes control of the band during their concerts. "It's like I'm on automatic pilot. By the time we're halfway through the first number, someone else is steering me. I'm just along for the ride. I become possessed when I get on stage." Wow. Wow. That's just... Katy Perry, you know who Katy Perry is?
Oh, yeah.
She's like one of the most popular singers right now and, you know, runs around like a harlot pretty much, like most of them do. But she said, "When I was 15, because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music, but it didn't work out. And so I sold my soul to the devil." Well,
yeah, she's not pulling any punches.
No, that's pretty bold and blatant, isn't it? Listen, one thing that she says there, or one thing about Katy Perry, I want you to think about this for a second, okay? Think about this. Here's a girl that grew up in a Christian home. Now, her parents probably went to church. I'm pretty sure they did. Somebody was a minister around her. I don't know who it was, but I thought they were Baptists even.
Her father.
Yeah, and he totally denounces what she's doing and says she's gone over to the devil, and he says it boldly.
Yep.
But, you know, you want to know something here, folks? Listen to two sermons I preached. "My son, know the God of thy father." And the second one, "My son, serve the God of thy father with a perfect and willing heart." Listen to those two sermons. Because there are kids that grow up in Christian homes, and you know what they do? They run out and play rock and roll music and turn into whores. Right?
right?
Why? Because they don't know the God of their father. That's why. They don't know him. They don't know who he is. Now listen to some of her lyrics here. You're so hypnotizing. Could you be the devil? Could you be an angel? You're from a whole nother world, a different dimension. Oh, man, listen to that. You open my eye. Fill me with your poison. Your touch so foreign, it's supernatural, extraterrestrial. You know what that screams to me? You know what that screams to me? Sons of God, daughters of men. That's
right.
What that screams right there. You know what else that screams? It screams Satanism, Luciferianism, New Age. Now here's a girl that grew up in a Christian home, so to speak. Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing about that is I've seen a thing exposing that music video, and at the end of the video, well, like you're saying in the video, the lyrics is talking about like aliens and humans mating together. So there you go, there's that agenda. But then at the end, she's depicted as being like half human, half horse, and then walking with this weird guy who used to be black, and then he like died and came back to life as like this albino god, I guess. But a lot of Antichrist themes in that music video. So just programming people, you know, predictive programming.
Yeah, that's right. It is predictive programming. Keisha's another one that's wicked too. What was the name of that one I seen on my page today? Was it Nicki Minaj? Is that what it is?
Yeah, she's really that too. Well, they all
I mean, she's definitely a whore, for sure.
But yeah, she said that the little boy Roman talks through her and stuff.
Yep. She said she was possessed by a boy named Roman. That when she gets on the stage, she's different. You know, wow. You know what is that all about? Devil. That's what it's all about. Satanist. It's just Satanism. Is it Luciferianism? It's just crazy.
How is a lost person not creeped out by that, though, in general?
You know, I don't think they pay attention to it. You know, the God of this world has blinded their minds.
I know.
They're blinded by it. They're hypnotized by the music. Right? I remember a song that reminds me of a song by, back when I a long time ago when I listened to rap music before I was saved, back in the 90s, early 90s, and was his name Biggie Smalls. And he had a song that he talked about that where his words just hypnotize, right? Remember that? Remember that song? My words just hypnotize, you know? And that's exactly true. These people are hypnotized by it. You know, the God of this world has them in their clutches, and that's why we're doing this. We're trying to reveal this stuff. Anyway, Michael Jackson said this. He said it when he was alive anyway. Now he's burning in hell. I wake up from dreams and go, wow, put this down on paper. The whole thing is strange. You hear the words. Everything is right there in front of your face. I feel that somewhere, someplace, it's been done, and I'm just a courier bringing it into the world. Wow. Well, he wasn't lying. He's right. He was a courier, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Bring it into the world, wasn't he? A lot of the songs, Alanis Morissette says this, a lot of the songs were written in 15, 30 minutes. Very stream of consciousness, as though it was being channeled through us. Wow. Have you ever heard of the... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you wouldn't think Alanis Morissette was channeling demons.
No, you wouldn't, would you? No, you wouldn't. John McLaughlin, leader of Mahavishnu Orchestra. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yep.
I don't even know what it is. One night we were playing and suddenly the spirit entered into me. The spirit? What spirit? And I was playing, but it was no longer me playing. Wow. His widow, Kurt Cobain's widow, said this, would state that Kurt had a lot of personal inner demons. A lot of frailties and physical ailments. You know, I've noticed something, too, and I don't have time to elaborate on this because we've got to keep moving because we're almost done here. Those devils and witch people that are attracted to witchcraft and devilish things, a lot of times they'll have physical ailments. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever realized that? They'll have physical ailments. They maybe can't communicate as well. There's maybe some physical thing wrong with them or something like that that causes them to be that, and then they get these devils and it changes.
Right, absolutely.
They're able to do things. The devil picks on the weakest ones. He's a coward like that, and that's why you rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. It is said that Kurt Cobain killed himself because the demonic entity stopped channeling lyrics through him. In his suicide note, he would write, "I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well creating music along with really writing for too many years now." In his suicide note, Cobain despaired that his muse had flown south. Wow. Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys said this: "We were doing witchcraft, trying to make witchcraft music. Admitted that he was tormented by voices in his head that would distract and torment him." Records president Larry Waronker claims to have encountered at least 5 different entities that used Brian Wilson's body as their own, as their home, excuse me. Wow.
Yeah, Brian Wilson used to hang out with Charles Manson.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Charles Manson. Well, before Charles Manson was involved in those murders and stuff, he was a very charismatic guy, and he wanted to be a famous musician, and he was working with Brian Wilson and some other famous people, and they really liked his music, and they're actually pretty close to putting an album together to put that out there for him.
Wow. Wow.
It's all witchcraft. They all hang
out. Yeah, that's right. It is. The Beatles, in 1966, John Lennon boasted that Christianity would pass away and that the Beatles would become more popular than Christ. He portrayed Christ under the guise of a character he named Jesus I. Pifko, a garlic-eating, stinking, little, yellow, greasy, fascist, bastard, Catholic Spaniard.
Makes a lot of sense.
And he died a very tragic death. Bowie, one of the biggest rock stars, said in 1976, "Rock has always been the devil's music." Oh, he didn't lie, did he? According to Spin magazine, Danzig, you know who Danzig is, right?
Yep.
Embodies both rock's past glories and the promise of its future, yet in songs like Am I a Demon? Mother and others. He glorifies occult ritual and sacrifice, violence, and spiritual anarchy. In one blasphemous video, a woman at the foot of the cross looks up and sees not Jesus, but a graphic portrayal of the devil, arms outstretched, hanging on the cross. The immediate impression this confusing image gives is either that Jesus was really the devil or that the cross symbolizes it satanic. Wow. Oh, we need to pray. Excuse me. Before I forget here, we need to pray for Brother John Howe's little girl. She has fluid on her brain. Please, anybody who listens to this, remember her in prayer. And she's in the emergency room right now. Please pray for her at this time that the Lord would intervene there on their behalf. That's a terrible thing to go through when your children have something wrong. So please remember her in prayer tonight that God would intervene for her. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, we pray for Brother Howe and his daughter. Lord, we just pray that you please would, Lord, just intervene there and heal that little girl and take care of her, Lord, we pray, and give the doctors the wisdom they need, give the parents wisdom and guidance, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones, has remarked, "There is no such thing as a secure, family-oriented rock and roll song." John Bon Jovi observed, "I wanted to rebel against anything and everything, and it happened that I was able to do it by playing rock and roll in the band." So these all admit that their goal was to, Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue, shout at the devil, right? Ozzy Osbourne says, "I'm not a born-again Christian, but a born-again Hitler." Wow.
Yeah, he's got a new song called God Is Dead.
Who's that, Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
From heavy metal, The Oath by the band King Diamond. I deny Jesus Christ, the deceiver, and I adjure the Christian faith, holding in contempt all of its works. Possessed by the band Venom. What's that?
I said that's bold.
Very bold. Possessed by the band Venom says this: I am possessed by all that is evil. The death of your God I demand. I sit at the Lord Satan's right hand, and I drink the vomit of the priest, make love to the dying whore. Satan is my master incarnate. Hail praise to my unholy host. End quote.
See, that was Venom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the first, one of the early black metal bands I was talking about. Remember the genre of black metal?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like one of the first bands to start that, where it was just like the most openly satanic music on the planet.
Wow. Well, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead here. Brother Eric is on too. Let me squeeze him in here. Brother Eric, are you there?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, bro?
Doing good. Just making my way home from the church house. So.
Amen.
That's why I was just able to just get on. So I've been listening for about the last 20 minutes or so.
Good. What do you have to say about this, with the rock and roll music and familiar spirits and all that? I know you listened to some sermons this week, and you have your own experience in some CCM stuff and some other things from before. Go ahead and give your comments on it.
Yeah, well, I was saved when I was younger, and I never really had any sound doctrine or preaching to me. So, I mean, I listened to, like, country, you know, probably country music stuff growing up. I mean, I was saved, but just living carnally. But now that I've come out of all that stuff and being taught sound doctrine and just, you know, just been growing in the Lord and growing in grace and in the wisdom of scriptures, and my eyes have been opened, you know, to seeing this stuff. But I remember seeing that same spirit that you say, that you see working in Kate Perry and all these. I see that same spirit working in the so-called church. But what's more deceptive is that this is supposed to be done in the name of God. Those people are just blatantly, outright, just serving Satan full bore. But that same spirit is working in the charismatic churches, and now even the Baptist. Wherever you allow in that spirit of a free will to just let your body and let your just, you know, that drums take over, I've seen that stuff happen on stages. To where the only time that they said it was the Spirit of God moving, well, no. The only time the Spirit of God was moving is when that music, when those drums and when that electric guitar was hitting certain keys and when that piano was hitting certain, you know, certain beats, and even with the piano, that stuff is just wicked. And I went to a few Newsboys concerts and maybe one in a Carmen concert, and they ain't no different. Even like this Winter Jam stuff, this CCM, this Winter Jam. These people in there, you can't, just because they think they put a Christian label on it, they think it makes it Christian. But that darkness, they got the lights, they have the crowd surfing at a church 15 minutes from my house. They had crowd surfing at this church. They had for Halloween, they had Haunted House there. They had rap, they had rock, they had heavy metal, all this stuff, and they think people are getting saved out of this stuff. And after that, it's a seducing spirit and doctrine of the devil. That stuff is just, it takes over. And like you said, how these blind people, these people are already blind by the God of this world. It's the professing saved people that get your mind boggling. How can they be saved and still be seduced by these familiar spirits and these wizards up there performing? I mean, that's where you say, okay, there's something not right here, you know. I mean, there's something that should be troubling you. When you have sit there, the same kind of music, the same atmosphere, the same darkness, the same just rebellious spirit, and the same seduction, the girls acting the same, the guys acting the same, mosh, Christian mosh pits and all this stuff, and these people aren't saved. That spirit, it has no boundaries.
That's right. And it's, you know, have you ever noticed something, and Brother Nate, you've noticed this too, I know, and Brother Eric, this desire for idol worship, when they're doing the praise and worship music or whatever, or any rock and roll or anything, when it's all that same spirit, it's all about them, and people like to clap for them, and they're lighting lighters and bowing to them and all this other weird stuff and going nuts over the performers.
Right. Oh, yeah. It is because there's that's what Satan, and that's what got this whole world screwed up, because in Isaiah 14:12, it all goes back to Satan and the pride that was in him, and he was exalted. He was the top cherub, and so that same exaltation, man desires to be praised and to be as God, and to be as gods, and that's where that they do it, and it's just wickedness. And that same spirit, Brother Jim Giles was saying, the Winter Jam in Indiana, where he's at, in the Winter Jam, the concessions, the liquor stands were open in this Winter Jam, and
wow.
They were serving. They had beer on tap at this thing. So these Christians out there calling this stuff Christian, where is it going to end? And where does it start? You got Christian whores, Christian drugs. I mean, Christian booze. I mean, where is it at? It goes with fornication. Comes with this stuff. It's
saying. I talked to Christian Christian psychics one time, and he put a hex on me. He tried to anyway, but the Lord intervened. But I know what you're talking about there. It's just they add Christian to everything and expect to put Jesus Christ in there. Well, he ain't anywhere near that mess, friend. He's not.
No, and that's why I'm very frightened for these people, and why the people you do see contending with me on Facebook, but a lot of these people, they're listening to Stryper and they're listening to all these heavy metal bands, and I'm thinking to myself, what can't you see? I mean, are you really? Yeah, that's why you see that you don't have works meet repentance. You weren't like there in Acts 19:19 where they took all their books, all their witchcraft books, and the price of 50,000 of silver. They had works, you could see. They got rid of that junk in their life. They weren't going to Christianize their witchcraft and all that stuff. That's why all these people aren't saved if they say they're saved. But that spirit is just, man, it's powerful. Like we were talking earlier, but you can have 50 people do all the same choreograph and not miss a single beat, and they're all in sync. That's a spirit of Satan working through them. You know, it's a strong spirit, and it's going to get stronger and stronger as we see that the day approaching, you know, with that Antichrist spirit, you know, just getting stronger and stronger, coming out just in everything. So, amen, brother.
Yeah, amen, bro. That's right. Anyway, so, this is what we're facing, folks. This is where it's at, and I bet we're about out of time. Yep, we're about out of time here. Anyway, listen, we'll be back next week with another good show for you, and I appreciate Nate coming on, and I appreciate Brother Eric coming on, and, you know, we'll see you next week.